T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in to the Kia Studios. Dry, cold, open out there. It is the John Chuckery Show. There we go. John Chuckery Show with you. Going live till 11 o'clock tonight. 404-741-0929. That is the phone line. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with us. We're streaming online at 929thegame.com. That's where you catch us live, replays of the show's finest moments, breaking sports news, all our new and improved website, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. That way you catch us live on the go anytime, anywhere on one of your devices, phone, tablet, turntable, watch, boombox, Laserdisc player, Sega Genesis. Catch us there on the go. All the social media at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I encourage you to go on Twitter and on Facebook. We got a little promo that Teddy Long and I, the WWE Hall of Famer, cut. We got another face-to-face wrestling show coming up on Saturday down in Hampton High School. Hope you'll come out and be a part of that. I'll be down there as well, as always. Always lots of fun with those guys. They're a once-a-month show that they've been doing now. This will be the third show now that they've done it at Hampton High School. So follow us on social media. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points. 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is producing the show behind the glass. Jarvis is in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. We'll talk to Mark Schlabach coming up at 8:20 in the world of college football. Still lots of storylines going on. We'll get some thoughts about Georgia as well. Of course, Mark, a long time, covered the Bulldogs for the AJC for a long time. So still lots of ties right here to Atlanta, Athens, and all of that. But the fallout from the Josh Donaldson non-signing. The Braves had a breakfast today with Double A. Did you see that, Jarvis? That they had there. So there is it their A-list membership folks. There was a kind of a meet and greet and a Q&A breakfast this morning. That Double A was part of that. I'm trying to think about who else. Was somebody else in the front? I don't know if it was Terry McGurk or one of the other guys in the front office was all part of that. And you know, listen, this is like one of those exclusive clubs or whatever like that that you got to be a part of and just kind of a getting ready for the season because, you know, we're literally like barely over 3 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting. And, of course, some of the fallouts and things like that. And I read some of the quotes that were going out there. It's all the same, blah, 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 blah. We need a pitcher. We need a hitter, you know. Well, nothing's changed. And I've talked to Liberty Media about spending. And by the way, have you seen that the rumor and innuendo is that Liberty Media may be in the business of buying the majority share of iHeartRadio? That's the latest. They already have a 5% stake in iHeart, and after all these massive layoffs, which shout out to my brethren that got laid off in all this, but the rumor is that Liberty Media is looking on to take on majority ownership of iHeart Radio, that they've already got 5% and looking to really increase. So it ain't like they don't have money, folks. So don't believe the payroll and caps and all that kind of stuff. So as the fallout continues, the rumor and innuendo, as we like to say in the wrestling podcast world, is that the scenarios for the Braves, now supposedly they have started back up talks with Chris Bryant, okay? Supposedly the Cubs didn't like any of the offers that they got. Nobody seems to like the offer that the Braves got, even though they have the deepest organization and lots of money and this, that, and the other. But, okay, that's another topic for another day, and I won't try to get aggravated about it. But there seems to be, more of a thought process that the Braves are more leaning toward signing one of the two main free agent outfielders that is still available out there. One guy we talked about last night in Nick Castellanos, played with the Tigers, played with the Cubs for a little bit. And as I said, he's all right. You know, I think he's 27 going on 28. He's all right. Had like 27 homers last year, 73 RBIs. I mean, he's all right. He's nothing special. He's a good player, but as I said, he's not Lindor, he's not Betts, he's not Arenado, he's not Chris Bryant. You know, he's not one of those guys. A nice player would be a nice, nice piece, addition. Better than trotting out Adam Duvall or, you know, whatever they're going to, you know, throw out there. The other name that's getting some attention now, too, is Marcell Ozuna. You know, Marcell Ozuna, I was trying to see what his stats were out of all this. So that's the other talk about who the Braves may be interested in. Well, I will tell you that, you know, and I've made it very clear that neither one of those names is very sexy to me at this point. This should be more about going, you know, all in. But Ozuna, by the way, 29 homers, 89 RBIs, hit .241 with 114 strikeouts. Did steal 12 bases with only two caught stealing. So he can run a little bit, you know, as well. But, you know, those names are okay. I mean, to me, that's nothing special. Could one of those guys step in and hit cleanup? Yes. So what if the Braves do end up saying that's one of our guys? By the way, they're going to tell you, oh, those are the guys we identified all along, you know, in this process. Let's say that that's the, one of the two guys that they, one of those guys ends up being here and hits cleanup and all that kind of stuff. Where does that put the Braves? Does that, do you think that move still puts the Braves dead square in top flight World Series contention in the National League? I still don't think that they are better than the Dodgers as is. I still don't think that even with Ryu leaving the Dodgers, and really they haven't done a whole lot, by the way, the Dodgers. You know, they missed out on Garrett Cole. They didn't get, you know, a whole lot done. They haven't done a whole lot. But still the Dodgers are so immensely talented. They still have so much talent, you know, on their team. And let's face it, they have been there before. You know, they were like the Braves and got knocked out early, and that was a real surprise. But they've been there before. So they do have some pedigree over the last few years about getting at least getting to the World Series. They know that they can get, you know, to at least that final set. I think certainly the Braves, you know, are right there still mid-tier. I think the Cubs are probably right there. As of right now, Chris Bryant is with the Cubs. They haven't done a whole lot either, but they're still very talented. You know, obviously going to have a new manager this year, going to be some changes and things like that, but they still have a lot of talent on that ball club. Can't discount, you know, St. Louis. There are rumors about that the most likely landing spot for Arenado are the St. Louis is the St. Louis Cardinals. If they get the Arenado and that's kind of their replacement for Marcell Ozuna, whew, that's a good looking squad, you know, right there. Now I still think the Braves will be the class of the East. I still think at the end of the day, when you look at the Mets, forget the Marlins. When you look at the Mets, you look at the Phillies, you look at the Nationals, the reality is that those franchises haven't shown that they can step up and beat the Braves when they need to. That when it got crunch time in the division, none of those teams could overtake the Braves. So I do feel good about the Braves, even just adding a, you know, an average bat, you know, an average either corner outfielder or third baseman or what have you. I feel okay about them winning the division. But as I've made very plain and very clear, this is nothing about winning the division. I don't want to hear about division. And don't spin to me the nonsense. Well, you got to win the division to get to – okay, we all understand that. Okay, we got that. Okay, if you're one of the best teams in baseball that's going for the World Series, you'll be there. I understand. You can't win the World Series if you're not in the playoffs. So that's you're not breaking any news, you know, to anybody. So miss me with all that kind of stuff. You have to think bigger. If you're not thinking bigger, then I don't know what kind of Braves fan you are. And I'm questioning your Braveshood, because if you can't look at this team and say they are so on the cusp of being the next great franchise and getting back to greatness and winning a World Series, not, well, you know, we got knocked out and, you know, not, well, anything can happen in a short series. Not that kind of talk. I'm talking about going and winning the World Series. They don't lack for talent, and they have resources, and they've been smart about how they've set their roster up, and they have some players still to come up in the minor leagues. But this is not waiting for 2 or 3 years. This is, you have to capitalize now. That would have been my only caveat to allowing Josh Donaldson a 4-year contract, is because, you know what? Got to win now. And yeah, Josh Donaldson probably is only about 2 more years before you see the best of Josh Donaldson. But you know what? I'll worry about 3 years from now, 3 years from now. If having Josh Donaldson or Nolan Arenado, well, he can opt out in 2 years. Okay, what if I win the World Series the next 2 years? So I'll figure it out in three. So once I get my 2 World Series and Arenado opts out, then I'll figure that out. Meanwhile, I'll have a couple of trophies in the case, you know, for it. And I'm not saying Arenado just by himself, just automatic does it. But certainly, with all due respect, if you're telling me Arenado, if my options are Arenado, you know, or Ozuna or Castellanos, I'm taking Nolan Arenado every time. He's the best two-way player in baseball, arguably. And him and Mike Trout are arguably the two best two-way players in all of baseball out there. So I still think the Braves are you know, NL East winners. But I don't know that telling me that one of those two guys playing outfield and hitting cleanup is the answer to the Braves' postseason woes and things like that. You know, that might be a situation where, let me put it this way. If one of those, you know, if Ozuna's your cleanup hitter, okay, Freddie Freeman's going to get a lot of walks. Freddie Freeman's going to get a lot of walks because they're not going to pitch to him as much as they're going to pitch to a guy who can strike out a lot, you know? I mean, and that's the thing, you know, guys like Ozuna, you know, they are, you know, in today's baseball world, the feast or famine kinds of hitters. When they hit it, it goes a long way. And if there are guys standing on base and he makes contact, there's a good chance they all get to touch home safely, you know? So there will be some of that, but there will be the frustration, you know, of it as well when there's two guys on and one out and he comes up and, you know, it's down on three strikes. So, you know, that happens. But I will tell you personally, you know, that I don't look at either one of those guys as telling me that I feel like the Braves now are in World Series mode. And I'm not trying to dismiss that, you know, they're good players. I want one of those guys. I want that guy. I want that move that everybody around SportsCenter goes, whoa, what'd the Braves just do? And don't sell me on, I saw some things like, well, you know, the Braves signed the second best free agent catcher available. Okay, I mean, if that's where the catching position is and Darno's the second best catcher, okay. You know, I don't know how excited I get about that, but okay. I mean, let me put it this way. Is he that big of a upgrade over what Brian McCann was for this team last year? Because, by the way, Tyler Flowers is going to be back, so don't misinterpret the fact that he's going to be back. We'll see. I hope the Braves have one big move in them left when it's all said and done. All right, Mark Schlabach going to join us up next. College football talk with him, Georgia, and all around the nation. ESPN columnist will join us next in the Key Studios. It is John Chuck Reshow, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live in the Key Studios tonight. Is the John Chuck Reshow on a Thursday night hanging out with you. Well, college football season has ended, but that doesn't mean there aren't lots of storylines always to get into. We go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, a guy that many folks around here in Atlanta, especially Georgia fans, know. Mark Schlabach joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, ESPN.com columnist. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark_Schlabach. As always, Mark, appreciate it, man. Thanks for jumping on for a few minutes with me.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about this Bulldog program. Obviously, you still know a lot about what's going on out there. You kind of, and we'll talk about your way too early top 25 that's up on the website, but you talked about maybe potential changes in the offensive coaching staff of Georgia. Fill us in a little bit about where you think that this team is going to go after what was maybe, you know, a disappointing offensive type of look for the Bulldogs this past season.
Yeah, I'd been told over the last couple of weeks that Kirby Smart was exploring some changes. I think he's really close to James Coley. I think you can't put everything at James Coley's feet because they were so hamstrung at the quarterback position. But I think Kirby has to look at what Ed Orgeron did last year, basically changing his entire offensive philosophy, bringing in Joe Brady to modernize the passing game they were using, and you see the results, the Heisman Trophy winner, an undefeated season, and a national title. And, you know, Kirby, I don't think will ever go to that type of system, but I think maybe playing with more tempo, playing with more pace, throwing the ball down the field a little bit more, I think it's something that he's going to explore. The name I was hearing was former Oklahoma State offensive coordinator Todd Monken, who was with the Cleveland Browns last year. And, you know, we'll see what happens. There's a new head coach in Cleveland. I don't think Monken is going to be back. I'm told he had a couple of potential opportunities in the NFL, but was looking to get back to college.
Mark, Jamie Newman obviously coming over from Wake Forest as a transfer into Georgia. Is he the lock cinch starter going into, let's say, you know, at least for springtime? Or do you think Kirby's going to have a competition at quarterback and he's going to be just one of the guys amongst them?
I think Jamie Newman will be the guy. I think it's why he's coming to Georgia. You know, he's a guy that's very highly regarded. And once they figured out Jake Fromm was leaving, I think they set their sights on Jamie Newman. I think, you know, he's a different type of quarterback than Jake Fromm. I don't think he's as accurate as Jake was the first 2 years, but he's got a big arm. You know, he brings a different dimension with his mobility, his ability to scramble. You know, PFF, Pro Football Focus guys, I have a lot of respect for, they put in a lot of work. Actually have him ranked as the number three quarterback next year behind Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields at Ohio State. And I saw a mock draft for next year today that had him in the first round. So people think a lot of his talent and his potential, and they got to figure out a way to utilize it.
ESPN.com columnist Mark Schlabach joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Mark, put him in the pecking order of quarterbacks in the SEC, kind of where you see him right now across the conference.
You know, I think he'd be one of the top two or three. You know, I think Kyle Trask at Florida will make some strides, but certainly with Joe Burrow moving on from LSU, you know, I think Newman, I think Kyle Trask, you know, Kellen Mond has to do a better job of protecting the football. And that's the one thing Jamie Newman, frankly, has to do a better job of is taking better care of the football, because he had 11 interceptions at Wake Forest last year. I think Fromm threw three last year. So I think that's going to be one of the things that they focus on in the spring.
We're seeing a lot of turnover at LSU. No shock of that. When, you know, when you win your national title, everybody's kind of coming after you. What do you think, you know, the people kind of say that, you know, a lot of this was not just who Ed Orgeron brought in, but the fact that he kind of stayed hands-off, especially on the offensive side of the football. As you get a lot of turnover on your staff, do you think he's as patient to do that, or do we see some of the old Ed of, hey, let me get my hands dirty in some of this stuff?
I think that's the million-dollar question. And, you know, the old adage is it's easier to get to the top than it is to stay there. And based on the last 48 hours, it kind of looks like a one-hit wonder. Dave Aranda's taking the head coaching job at Baylor. Joe Brady left for the Carolina Panthers. Joe Burrow's gone. Seven underclassmen are gone. They're still bringing back some talent. Jamar Chase will be back. We'll see what Thaddeus Moss does, the great tight end. Terrace Marshall should be back. I've heard there have been discussions with Derek King, the quarterback, really talented from Houston. He could be a good fit there. We'll see if they go with a grad transfer or go with Miles Brennan. But, you know, the system's in place now on offense. Steve Ensminger will be back. You know, does he go with an analyst who's there now and just try to keep the same system? And, you know, the loss of Aranda is just as big as Brady. They weren't very good on defense when Dave got there in 2016, and they've been one of the better defenses the last couple of years, despite not having the same talent as, say, Georgia or Alabama on that side of the ball.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckwish Show. We're on the WaitFor.com hotline. Longtime ESPN.com columnist. Of course, Georgia fans know him from his days covering the Bulldogs. Mark Schlabach joining us here and talking some college football. So, listen, I know, Mark, you're always the guy with the way too early top 25s. It's easy with Clemson and Ohio State. But how do you see now, given kind of the changing landscape, you know, even over the last few weeks, where does kind of maybe like 3 through 6 kind of shake out for you as we head towards spring?
I think Alabama's third, even though the Crimson Tide are going to lose Tua Tagovailoa and Jerry Jeudy and some other guys. You know, they took some hits in terms of underclassmen entering the NFL draft, but, you know, they're bringing back Alex Leatherwood, the big tackle, Najee Harris, the tailback's coming back, Devonta Smith is coming back, so they've got some talent. You know, I think Mac Jones, his, you know, him getting an opportunity to start some games after Tua got hurt and to play well, I think gives him confidence going into the year. I think I had LSU number 4, but I'm going to be honest with you, based on what's transpired over the last 48 hours, I don't even know if they're a top 10 team at this point going into next year. I think that's now with that huge exodus of underclassmen and both coordinators leaving, you know, I could maybe go Texas A&M as the second best team in the West next year, but you know, Texas A&M's got to show me they can win some football games that matter as well.
What do you think about Texas? You know, that's a program that, you know, of course, Sam Ellinger comes out and says we're back after beating Georgia, maybe one of the most disappointing teams in the country this past year. But Ellinger is coming back, and he's going to be one of the top players, not just in the Big 12, but in the country. You know, is this a season where maybe they sneak up and finally decide to break through and win the Big 12?
I think it's a big, big year for Tom Herman. I think he's got to figure out a way to get it done. He got rid of his defensive coordinator, Todd Orlando, who plateaued the last couple of years. I think he's got 7 new assistant coaches coming in. That's never a great sign. But Ellinger's back. I think they're going to be pretty good on defense. They lose the 2 big wide receivers, which isn't going to help them. But, you know, with Baylor losing Matt Rhule, we'll see what happens with Charlie Brewer, their quarterback, who's had some concussion issues. I could see Texas or maybe Iowa State being the second best team behind Oklahoma in the Big 12. And I rephrase that. Oklahoma State, I think, will be the second best team with Chuba Hubbard and Tyron Wallace coming back. That was a pretty big coup from Mike Gundy getting both those guys to return.
Mark, you mentioned De'Ara King, and he's going to be the hottest name that's now in the transfer portal. LSU, and I said before, because you know LSU's done so well in the Houston area, even high school recruiting, going back to the Les Miles days, that makes a lot of sense. But give me a couple other real landing spots. We've heard A&M possibly. There was even some rumor before Newman came to Georgia that they could be in the mix. Give me a couple of names, where you think King could very well land.
I don't think it'll be Oklahoma. I've talked with a couple of coaches at Oklahoma. They had some discussions with him when he first decided to redshirt this last season, or at least with his father. There's some talk of him going to Oklahoma, but I think they're pretty sold on Spencer Rattler, who was one of the top dual threat quarterbacks last year. I think LSU is the leader in the clubhouse. We'll see if everybody leaving, if that changes his mind. Oregon, with Justin Herbert leaving. If they open things up a little bit, I think he could be a good fit there. Texas A&M, you know, I've heard some whispers of Kellen Mond possibly leaving. I think the kid would be making a huge mistake to come out, because I just don't think he's ready. He hasn't been consistent enough. Those would probably be the primary places. You know, Miami or somebody like that would love to have him. I just don't think they can get him.
Oregon's very interesting because they just hired Joe Moorhead to run that offense. So you got a guy that certainly knows how to utilize him. That would change the dynamic of the Pac-12. And let me ask you about the Pac-12, because how do we not look at Clay Helton in a make or break year, where honestly he's going to have a guy? Slovis is third. I saw third or fourth in the Las Vegas betting odds as far as Heisman favorites go into the season.
Yeah, you got JT Daniel behind him, and he's got a ton of wide receivers coming back. I think I had one Pac-12 team ranked in my way too early, top 25. I kind of went back and forth between North Carolina and Tennessee, and Arizona State was a possibility, and maybe Cal. But, the Pac-12 is just a mess. Just lost 2 really good football coaches, and Mike Leach at Washington State and Chris Peterson retiring at Washington. If I'm Clay Helton, I'm going to Rocky Long, who just retired as San Diego State's coach, and saying, how much do you want to be my defensive coordinator? Because if they can figure out a way to get better on defense, I think they'd have a chance to maybe be a surprise this coming season, because Slovis is that good, and the talent around him is really good on the offensive side of the football, but they can't stop anybody.
Mark, last thing for you. You brought up an interesting name in North Carolina, and listen, as crazy as we all thought the hire of Mack Brown was, they did a lot of good things. They had a quarterback set the FBS record for touchdown passes for a freshman. Are they the sleeper pick that people are going to look at in the Coastal this year when we get to media days and all that? Are they going to be the team that feels like is going to get a chance to line up against Clemson when it comes ACC championship time?
I think they've got a chance because they've got the quarterback. I think, Sam Howell was fantastic as a freshman. I think he set the FBS record for touchdown passes in a season. Mack, has done a tremendous job there. I mean, the challenge is going to be sustaining it at a place that doesn't have a great football tradition. Larry Fedora had one really good year and then kind of collapsed. But I think Mack, a little bit more fundamentally sound in what he tries to do, and they've recruited well, and you know, I put them up there with Virginia Tech, and I think both those teams kind of leveled off the last couple of years. So I think Mac's got a chance to get to the ACC championship game in year two for sure.
You can follow him on Twitter at @Mark_Schlaebach. He is an ESPN.com columnist. And, of course, like I said, Georgia fans remember him from all the time he spent in Athens covering the Bulldogs. Mark Schlaebach joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. As always, Mark, good information, man. Continued success, man. And we'll talk to you here as we get toward the spring.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. John Chuck, we're here. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, excuse me, 92.9 The Game. The John Chuckery Show, coming to you live in the Kia Studios. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. Follow us on social media stations at 929TheGame. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Still plenty of stuff to go as Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, senior NFL analyst for them, will join us, and we'll talk about conference championship games. Don't forget, we got kind of a little bit shorter show tomorrow because of Hawks basketball. Hawks start up the second half of the regular season in San Antonio. Pregame at 8 o'clock, 8:30 tip-off with Steve Holman and Mike Conney on the call for all of that. So they'll have all the action right here on your home of the Hawks, 92.9 The Game. Won't be long, too. We'll be getting into, obviously, Atlanta United. Jarvis, we need to plan on having Jason Longshore in one last time before the season really kind of gets started. Bring him in for an hour and have a little fun with him and do some fun stuff. So we'll get Jason Longshore in. Won't be long. We were at a training camp last week, or the station was, I should say. You know, the station was. Station was out there for training camp last week and getting all that kicked off, and we'll see what Atlanta United has in store for us. So lots of good stuff coming up. But first, speaking of stuff that comes up, let's get to What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
By now, everybody has seen all the shenanigans, as Mike Bell would say, and nonsense around Odell Beckham Jr. and the goings-on at the national title game the other night, Monday night. And now I want to make sure I clarify that. Monday night, right? Today's what day? Thursday? Okay, Monday night in New Orleans at the Superdome. Now, it wasn't only just we talked about the story about, you know, the money that he was handing out and stuff like that. But there was an incident in the locker room as well, okay? You had LSU players, and this is where I'm all confused about the whole thing. I don't know what to make heads or tails of. You know, the whole thing was LSU players that were smoking cigars and things like that. Then all of a sudden, that became a problem, and the cops were going to come in and arrest everybody. Why? I don't know. I don't know how it could have turned into guys are trying to enjoy themselves with cigars in the locker room. I'm sure there's a no-smoking policy and all that, but, I mean, with all due respect, you know, you have to have, you know, some common sense and good judgment just has to apply in certain situations. And I'm not sure it applied there with that. But then Odell Beckham goes and smacks one of the officers, you know, on the behind. Now, here's where the dilemma comes in, okay? That was a dumb thing Odell Beckham Jr. did, okay? I understand he thought it was playful and kind of in jest and stuff like that. When the cops are kind of in the middle of trying to do business, okay, you don't do that. You don't do that, okay? I understand he wasn't trying to assault or hurt the cop, okay? I'm with you. I don't think he had malicious intentions of doing something to the police officer. But you got to have better sense. And I know he was probably tanked up. Okay, by all reports are that there was plenty of liquid libation that was flowing. Okay, fine, whatever. But you don't do that. But here's where my problem starts to come in. What night did I say that happened? What night was that? Monday? Okay, today's Thursday? So Odell Beckham Jr. has been charged. Let me get the official story up here. Odell Beckham Jr. has been charged with simple battery. Let me get to all of this good stuff. There is now an arrest warrant issued for Odell Beckham on a case of simple battery, okay? So you saw the video of him slapping the officer on the buttocks and all that kind of stuff, all right? Here's where this is where I don't understand, okay? If you're telling me that this was an egregious enough crime to warrant putting out an arrest warrant for somebody, why didn't you arrest them there? If you're telling me it's worth the DA getting an arrest warrant or what, however the process worked, if you're going to all of this trouble 3 days later, listen, if I'm intoxicated and act like an a-hole to a cop, you don't think you can put the cuffs on me and take me in right there? And again, I understand the intention of Odell. He's probably drunk, okay? I don't think he meant any harm. Common sense, though, says you can't do that. But if the police are saying that this was egregious enough to the New Orleans Police Department, why wasn't somebody arrested right there on site? Why wasn't somebody arrested? The cop does turn around and confront Odell Beckham for it, and he kind of backs up and some guys put, what? Why does it take 3 days later to decide that this is worthy of filing an arrest warrant against him for battery? I don't understand. They said the security guard filed the complaint. Are you telling me that somebody couldn't have gotten arrested right then and there that night? Are you telling me that there's a process that has to play out when you're talking about simple battery on an officer? I find that hard to understand and believe. Because it wasn't a matter of somebody denying it, you know, and I guarantee you there's no physical damage done to the officer that has cropped up, okay? It's not like there was a lingering injury that now he suffered that wasn't discovered at the time. I don't understand this whole story. I'm not telling you Odell Beckham is right. You shouldn't put your hands on any officer. Sorry. You can't do that. You set yourself up for failure when that happens, okay? You set yourself up for failure if you put your hands on an officer. But 3 days later, and there's a complaint, and now the New Orleans police are putting out an arrest warrant. I'll say it again. If it was that egregious that it warrants all of this, shouldn't he be arrested on site? Shouldn't somebody have taken him into custody at that time? But here we are 3 days later. You know how this is going to get resolved, right? Yeah, it's getting resolved, right? He cuts a check. He strokes a check to somebody. Huh. If we're going to speak real, if we're going to be real about all this, this is going to go away because he's going to stroke a check to somebody. I'm not telling you it's a money grab. I don't know what it is. But that's how it's going away, is somebody's getting a check stroke to him. But this story is all confusing. And I don't understand. And I guess at the end of the day, if somebody was going to get arrested, to me, they should have been arrested that night. You want to arrest them, put them in cuffs, and then sort it out from there. All right, looks like Baylor has their next head coach. And they're making that announcement. We'll talk about that next. Chuck in the Key Studios, Sports Radio, not in the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.